You're listening to Real Women Courageous Wisdom, hosted by Women for One truth teller, my friend and author, Kara Bradley. Real Women Courageous Wisdom is a podcast series featuring Women for One truth tellers, everyday women and kindred spirits passionate about sharing their journeys and inspiring others.
Hey everyone, it's Kara Bradley here, ready for another episode of Real Women Courageous Wisdom. I get so jacked up for these because I just know that in 20 minutes, I'm going to be inspired and empowered to run out of my house and go do something. Especially today, I have a feeling that I'm going to be really geared up for some good blogging, actually. I have Sahar has with me today. And Sahar is an author of Find Your Voice, and a keynote speaker and just a real advocate for women, I think, people in general, to find their true inner voice. And I think this is so important because in my own experience, I know there's a lot of veils over that true inner voice that I think she's going to help us get to immediately. So welcome, Sahar. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much for having me and making space for my voice. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah, well, you are amazing. I did some prep work and watched a bunch of your talks on your website, saharpaz.com. And was really just inspired by your story. Could you tell us a little bit about, you know, your story is so it's so compelling that we have to hear a little bit of it. So if you can just kind of set us up here for how you've come to do what you do.
Sure. I was born in Tehran, Iran in 1978. So this was a year before the Islamic Revolution. And before I could articulate my first words, my voice was actually taken from me. I grew up in a culture of fear and control. And it was 1986 when my mom took us from Iran to Denver, Colorado, using her severance from IBM, where she was let go for being a woman. And I came to the land of the free thinking, all right, this is it. I can be who I want to be, wear what I want to wear, say what I want to say without any shame. And it was here where I discovered that the girl, and sometimes even the boy right next to me, had the same issues. So the veil that you just mentioned, I had to actually wear one when I lived in Iran. But when I came here, I noticed that the same veil, these pressures of perfection and not ruffling any feathers, were taking the voice of many of my peers. So this pressure made me feel more of a burden. It was the message that was given to me from my childhood, all the way up to probably in my 20s, where I just really felt like a burden. And in order to fight this feeling, I became a people-pleasing perfectionist. So in my younger days, that meant doing everything around the house, whether it was cleaning or helping with my brother. In my teenage years, being a perfectionist and pleasing folks meant not being able to say no to men. And as I grew, after high school, I did not go to college because in my mind I was not smart at that time. So I had a great work ethic, and mostly because most of us can find a direct correlation between money and our worth. And that's where I was going for. And I ended up getting that American dream by the time I was 25, living in New York City, working in banking, friends, money, apartment, all that good stuff on the happy list. And I had never been more empty. And it was in this space that my voice inside of me, the one that was trying to be my protector when I was young, after I was abused and abandoned, she didn't want to let anybody close to me. And then as I grew into an adult, her protection turned into my bully. And so I got so far as the checklist, but I still didn't have any real connection with people. I still felt so alone. I still felt like a burden. And it was then that the voice that was there to protect me talked me into my own death. So 2005 will always be remembered for my suicidal trilogy, which obviously was not successful. And it was then that I entered into a state of permission, compassion, and curiosity for myself. I really wanted to know the how. How could I stop this influx of confidence, high and low, of wanting to live and then not? And I became curious about the tone of my inner voice, where she took me, and how she dictated the voice that everybody else hears. So within that time, I gave myself permission to go back to school and graduated among the top of my class. I graduated in 2008, economic meltdown. So my dream job that was given to me was taken away before my first day at work. And about 2 years of really freelancing in New York, having my confidence and my inner voice and actual voice being tested. And I felt like I took about 10 steps back. In reality, I wasn't suicidal anymore, so it's really a great leap forward. However, my confidence sank again. And that's when I decided to start my nonprofit, Free Your Star Foundation, where I thought, okay, fashion was the first way I really found my confidence. It was my armor. It was my fake it till you make it. I'm going to use that as a catalyst to empower teens. And I did that for 4 years. And by the time I was 33, I was facing another burnout. And it was because my inner voice asked me to start the foundation because of my need for mentorship, my need to see a living, breathing, thriving woman with a voice. I couldn't find one that wasn't on TV. I needed one at my fingertips. And because I couldn't find it, I wanted to create it. But often, as many women, we're giving and giving without receiving, and we end up on empty. So at the age of 33, I had to ask myself, what are you going to do? I knew that I wanted to help people. That is my purpose. And I also knew that fashion was just dealing with the outside, not with the inside. So I said, okay, what are the building blocks to change? And for me, it came with words, the words of our inner voice. And that's when I began to repivot my life, to give myself permission to let go of a 5-year relationship that had defined me. And I gave myself a chance to leave my beloved New York after a decade. So I let go of the title of not being an executive director of a foundation, not being a New Yorker, not being a filmmaker's fiance. And I began to write Find Your Voice. I began to dedicate my life to helping people, especially women, get out of their own way. Because our voices are birthright. There's so much shame and uncomfort that comes with using it. And, you know, the Dalai Lama said recently that the world will be saved by the Western woman. So it is my mission to help women get out of their own way, to find their own voice, and to help me change this world, because I cannot do it alone.
Wow. That's beautiful. So eloquently put and riveting, really riveting. Thank you for sharing that. Gosh, I have so many questions because not only do I stand kind of as the voice of women in this interview, because I know it's not just me. I know that for so many of us, we're feeling like, even though we kind of feel like we're empowered, you know, we're doing all the right things, there's still that sense of slight misalignment. Mm-hmm. And so can you tell us a little bit more about this idea of the inner voice and how we might go about starting to unravel or unpack mm-hmm. where she is?
Yes. So your inner voice has been trained by all of your lovely experiences, even if they were ugly. And those ugly experiences are now wisdom, as long as they're not turning against you. So a lot of the women that I work with are like, okay, well, can I tell the difference between my inner bully and my authentic voice, who I really am and what I want to give permission to? Because a lot of us within ourselves, we've been talking ourselves out of something for so long that we believe that that's our intuition. So for me, I've created these different archetypes, and it was a great way to bring a lighthearted tone to going inside, because going in is tough work and it takes a lot of courage and stamina. So it's good to make it fun. So for me, there are different archetypes that represent your most authentic voice as well as your inner bully. We'll start with the inner bully. One of my favorites is Psychic Phyllis. So if I would have listened to Psychic Phyllis, she would have said, "Sahar, girl, you don't even like to read that much. You're not a great reader. You can't focus. How the heck are you going to be a writer? No one's going to buy your book. Who the heck are you? Forget about it." Right? That's my New York. Forget about it. So Psychic Phyllis tells me the conclusion before I begin. So when I begin to hear that, I name her. I name her so I cannot necessarily count on her words and know, hey, I don't have to agree with you all the time. Or Black and White Betty. She sees everything as win or lose. There isn't that gray area for her where she can account the little steps that I've been taking. So, for example, last year I had the opportunity to speak at Emerging Woman Live. It was the same stage as Brené Brown and Jane Goodall. Now, for me, I said, okay, I have an opportunity to speak on the stage. However, I was not compensated for it. So my Black and White Betty voice said, that doesn't count for anything. Just because you got to go on there doesn't mean anything. You have to have a check for it, which is not true. The fact that someone early in her speaking career, and I'm about 4 years in, which is considered early, has the opportunity to share the stage with such amazing women is not a black and white situation. It's a wonderful step. It's great progress. So Black and White Betty always gets me to set expectations that are not realistic for me, and she makes me feel bad. So there are several different archetypes for the inner bully: Judgmental Judy, Sensitive Susie, Negative Nancy. So these, and you can name your own. So these are the ways that you really cope, that you tend to hold yourself back. And then there are the voices of your most authentic self, the woman inside that's dying to come out, the restlessness you may feel at night because of things you didn't say that you wanted to during the day. And their various names are Compassionate Chloe. We have awesome compassion as women. That's one of our beautiful traits, but rarely do we take that Compassionate Chloe voice towards ourselves. Logical Layla. I love Logical Layla because she can really take the voice of my Psychic Phyllis or my Black and White Betty and really approach her with evidence and logic. Just like I told you, I was able to be on that stage. So compensation is only part of it. The fact that I'm up there as a woman that is esteemed to share the stage and hold the same mic is great. So Logical Layla helps me remember that. Assertive Amy helps me speak up without feeling shame or guilt for using my voice. And Sensual Sasha allows me to receive, to feel sexy. So I've created these archetypes because women, we get stuck in our head. Our life lives above the shoulders. And I really want you to understand this conversation that goes within and learn to detach from it by naming the different tones of your inner voice.
These are fantastic. They really are. I have this big smile on my face because, of course, I can relate with every single one, as I'm sure everyone listening can relate, you know, to most of these. As you were speaking, I was going through my mind just exactly when some of these archetypes tend to pop up for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so fantastic. I love it. Well, you must have a great deal of fun with some of your clients that you work with.
I do. You know, it's heavy work, and the women that show up, I'm always just so amazed of how aware they are. You know, most of us are. We're analytical beings, and on top of that, we have so much that we're responsible for. So we're usually very aware of what's going on, but we get stuck in that conversation, and it robs us of our voice or what we really want to say, the boundaries we want to set.
Yes. And so I have a question. As I was watching some of your talks online, and I think this is a question that I've been thinking about for a while, and perhaps people out there can relate. You know, I feel like there's a difference between telling our truth, right? Because Women for One is all about truth tellers, truth telling, mm-hmm. And there's so much courage involved in that. I mean, I bow to everyone that puts out a blog or puts their voice out there and just hits send, because you need courage to do that. But I also feel like there's even an underlying, and maybe this is what you're getting to, there's like an underlying voice. There's a difference between telling your truth and really communicating from the essence of who you are. Mm-hmm. I think both are valid and both are necessary, but I feel like telling your truth and standing up and, you know, telling your story and what you've been through is one thing, and it's so important, but telling that story from the most authentic inner voice you could muster up, I feel like takes it to a new level.
Absolutely. I had to be very careful, because repeating my life story can be pretty heavy, and it's a bulk of my work. But the beautiful thing is, and what I want all women to do, is to be able to tell their story and look back at it, but it's not this thing that weighs them down or defines them. It's more like, that's my bag of wisdom over there. Mm. You know, this is my, I could pull out all types of things. And I say this all the time, I am never going to get over the abandon or the abuse. That's part of who I am. It's just a matter of, I'm aware of it when it comes up. So I'm aware when I am perhaps doing a contract with a woman that is a bit older than me and my mommy issues come up, and I want to seek approval versus really saying what I need to be fair to myself. So, you know, partly some of these things don't ever go away. And it's just really being aware of when they come up and try to dictate your spoken voice.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And there's a great quote out there. You just brought that to mind. And I don't know who to attribute it to, but it said that when you speak the truth or tell the truth, even if your voice quivers,
yes,
like it, right? Like you almost know when you are, like, I know when I'm really telling the truth, I'm not sugarcoating. I'm just mm-hmm. really putting it out there in as kind a way as I can, but it's got to come out. It's like time stands still.
It does. And this is where life below the shoulders really comes in, especially if you're having a hard time inside with your voice, like, what's what? What do I believe? Who am I? What's my purpose? I always say, listen to your body, because if your body feels tight or you're clenching your jaw, you know, these things, your body will tell you if it's not the right thing. Now, there's a little catch-22 here. If you're a woman that's not used to speaking up, and you're doing it for the first time, your body's going to react in the exact same way. It's going to feel just as uncomfortable. But afterwards, if you're speaking true to your worth, there is a beautiful tingling lightness and motivation and adrenaline that feels light. But if you spoke not to your worth, you feel heavy afterwards. Mm. So your body is, it's your GPS for the soul. Mm. Feel her out. Live life below the shoulders. Scan your body head to toe when you're laying in your bed at night, and your voice will not let you sleep.
Yes. Wow, that's great. I love it. I love to live below my shoulders. I can't say I always do, but I think more and more of us are starting to get that as we start to gain the practices of settling our mind and stabilizing, that we are able to feel more. And our body doesn't lie. I mean, our body tells us exactly what's going on, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes. Mm. You can trust her.
Yes. Wow. And I love your kind of tagline. And I'm just saying that it's not really, you know, put out there as a tagline, but is the idea of getting out of our own way so that we can find or connect with that emerging inner voice within.
Yeah. You know, we're amazing women. We're multifaceted and we evolve. So, you know, don't be afraid of evolving and changing and looking in and understanding that really we cannot trust anyone that hasn't failed. So it's all about making better mistakes and giving yourself a chance. So that's that compassionate Chloe. We need to bring that compassion and curiosity towards ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's for sure. That is for sure. So I have one more question for you.
Sure.
Is there something, like I have two daughters in their early 20s. Mm-hmm. And I know I could see myself, my younger self in them so often about not, especially my daughter who's 22 now going into the workforce and, you know, that fear of asking for what she needs, the fear of kind of putting out what she feels she deserves. Mm-hmm. Is there a tip or two or anything that you work when you work with your clients or work in, I know you do webinars online as well, kind of preliminary steps to massaging or maybe to strengthening the inner voice? Are there any couple of tips that you have that you use?
Well, you know, the different archetypes that I mentioned to you are huge for understanding the way that you process inside, because that's ultimately what's going to hold you back when it's time to show up to the negotiation table, whether it's for love or for work. So it is really understanding what's going on in there and then having that safe place to practice it. Mm-hmm. And honestly, this is, you know, I do a lot with conscious parenting, because as a parent, you could talk to her about what you were like going into these situations and how you verbalized it. And oftentimes in my group coaching, what's so powerful is you just need to hear the way that it's said, different words that you can use. So how can I, because a lot of times we see conversation as confrontation when we want to ask for what we want. And we just need to understand, it's just a matter of like, what is right for your personality? How do you feel the most comfortable to ask for what you want? And to be honest, when I didn't have, I had a strong voice inside, but when I came to the table with my spoken voice, when it wasn't so strong, I was careful not to answer and say, do you mind if I sleep on it and email you tomorrow? Mm. Because I found that first in my writing, I found my strong voice. So, you know, everybody has a different process. And in my book, I say, respect your process. It has to do so much with your personality. So ask your daughter, how do you want to say this? How do you see yourself saying this? Have her practice it with you. A lot of it is actually in the words that you use, because we see it as this scary confrontation thing. So
that's great advice. Really, really fantastic. And I love the idea of asking or just saying, I'm just going to sleep on this, because I know for me as a woman leader, you know, business owner and all the stuff that I've done, I often am too quick to either agree or to offer my services, and I end up getting myself jammed up. And so to hit the pause button and just to say, I will respond or get back to you in a day. Oh, that's brilliant. Just so simple, because then you can sit with it and go through the words and really listen to the messages that you're hearing from within to know if it's right or not right for you in the long term.
Yeah. I mean, you and I, all of us, we're in a very masculine world, and not in the sense that it's a man's world, but masculine energies of analysis, logic, and action, right? So we're in this produce and do. So we get caught up in it, myself included. And there's such great wisdom when you use your feminine qualities, which are qualities anyone has, which is reflection, honesty, creativity. So if you just take that step back, we feel like we're in a rush and we better do it and hurry up. And that's the culture we're in. But to make that shift, to really change the world, that's how it begins, with that conversation. Let me sleep on it. Let me get back to you. Because the truth is, we don't have to answer right now. And for our kiddos growing up with the social media and these phones, we live in an instant gratification world. So for them, it is like, oh, I better hurry up. So we really need to teach them, no, you don't have to make that answer in this very minute. You can take a little bit.
Wise. Fantastic. Well, thank you, Sahara. Thank you for being here. I know I enjoyed it, and I hope you all did out there. Please check out Sahara Paz. So I'm going to spell out her website for you. I'm sorry, it's Paz. I said it wrong this time. I said it right the first time. Sahara Paz, SAHARPAZ.com. And Sahar has webinars online. She's got lots of great stuff on her website, lots of great little videos that you can watch. So thank you, dear friend, my new friend, for being here.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for making space for my voice and also being a catalyst to helping other women feed their voice. You are so important.
Thank you. Thanks, all. Till next time.
Thank you for listening to Women for One's podcast series, Real Women, Courageous Wisdom. If you like what you just heard, we hope you will subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and leave a review. If you're interested in becoming a Women for One truth teller, visit womenforone.com to learn more. For more information about our host, Kara Bradley, visit her site, karabradley.net. Join us next time for another enlightening conversation with powerful, everyday women.